Your word declares that you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. And Lord, you blessed us with people that have a heart to love you and to love your work. And we pray, Lord God, that you would grant strength in their bodies, mind, soul, and spirit to those who give, Lord God, those that give of their time, those that give of their talent, those that give of their touch, and those that give of their treasure. Let your blessings overtake and surround them, that they will continue to have everything that they need of. Bless them as only you can, and cause them to continue to be a blessing, not only to this congregation, this part of your vineyard, but to those that they come in contact with. We thank you for blessing them. We count this as done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of things that are going on in our world. A lot of things that are taking place, and we have to maintain, in my opinion, a continued state of readiness. We have to be on alert all the time, because as the scripture has said, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. And we are thinking and praying for and about that most recent that I know of mass shooting in Allen, Texas on yesterday. 8 innocent people were killed, as far as I know, and there's some that are in the hospital. But these are just some of the things that happen to remind us that we are in the last days. Evil men and seducers, as the Bible has already prophesied, are waxing worse and worse. So we need to be mindful, we need to be watchful, and we need to be prayerful. Most importantly, we must live, I believe, in a constant state of readiness. When I say a constant state of readiness, ready to leave. We want nothing between our soul and our Savior, because it is not, we don't know, or I don't know how any of us will make our transition. I don't know. And since we don't know, it's better, I believe, to live in a state of readiness. So whether we go naturally, whether we go by sickness, or whether we go by tragedy, we go ready. Remember our good friend who transitioned some years ago, Bishop Clarence Moore. He said he don't have a problem with dying, it's just getting dead. A saint, we shouldn't have a problem with dying, but some of us struggle with how we gonna get dead. But that's all right, let God take care of that. Amen. But let's just make sure when we go, whenever we go ready. Amen. All right, that's not a part of my sermon, but I just thought I'd just throw that in there. All right, because it was on my heart. This is a lot of stuff that's going on, and who says it won't come near us? But we know, even if it comes near us, we know that no one can pluck us out of the hand of God. And if it comes to us, God had to give the approval. Either we believe that or we don't. If we don't, we can pack up, go home, turn on the whatever game, but we believe it. I believe it. How about you? Amen. Amen. God is in control. He is in control, and I thank him for that. So I don't worry. I don't be anxious. And I don't want you to be anxious either. Just be watchful, prayerful, and ready. Amen? All right. Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. I'm asking, Lord, that you would use this vessel in this moment as you choose. And Lord, let my life, let it praise you. Asking for clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that you would speak to us, speak through us, speak to all those that will have a heart and an ear to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a series, and the series is Strengthening Your Calling. Strengthening your calling. And I think it's imperative as we see the day that we're in and the climate and the different things that are happening. It's important for us as the children of God to make sure that we strengthen our calling, because there are different things that present themselves to us in our life and that will try to shake us from our foundation, that will try to shake us from our hope and our faith in God. But I'm thankful that God has left on record his word. And I believe one of the writers in the Old Testament time said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And if there was ever a time for us to hide God's word in our heart, I believe it is the day that we are living in. Also today, as is our custom, is First Sunday, and we usually partake of our communion on the first Sundays. So it is, we will do that today. And in thinking about strengthening your calling, I want us to go to a very familiar passage of scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I have the Amplified Classic version of the scriptures. You can follow along with any version that you have. I'm going to read verse 23 and 24 to begin with. This is Paul speaking to the saints at Corinth. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "For I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread." Verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance.'" Or in other words, "I want you to remember me every time you do this." Paul made an interesting statement at the beginning of this verse, because we know Paul even referred to himself as an apostle. He said, "I'm one born out of due season." We remember his conversion and his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And we know from scripture that Paul, when he was saved, when his eyes were opened and God filled him with the Holy Ghost and he was baptized, in one of his writings he said, "I did not confer with the apostles." He said, "But I spent 3 years in the desert of Arabia. And so you can understand he's saying here in verse 23, I received this from the Lord himself. He said, I got it. And what I love about God and I love about God's word is the same message that the previous and earlier apostles and disciples of Jesus received when Jesus was in his public ministry. It is the same message that Paul received, because when he compared, when he finally came back to Jerusalem, he said, I was not one whit behind all the apostles. So that means there's continuity and clarity and accuracy in the message of Jesus Christ. He said, for I received it from the Lord himself, that which I passed on to you. So I'm telling you what was given to me personally. That is something to consider. So Jesus told Paul what happened to him. Jesus let Paul know, this happened to me. I was treacherously delivered up. We know the one that gave him up, Judas Iscariot. He said, but while that was going on, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. I am letting you know that my body is going to be broken for you so that you might be made whole. I'm going to allow them, because remember, before he got there, he said, the Son of Man is going to be given into the hands of evil men. They're going to crucify me, but I'm getting up on the third day. So he said, this is my body. When he broke that bread, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remember it. So I want you to think about basically what Jesus, I believe, was letting Paul know and letting us know as we read this. I want you to think about the lengths that I took for you. I want you not just to remember, but I want you to affectionately remember. When you see what I've done for you, it ought to cause some love and compassion for you to realize, and appreciation for you to realize all that I did for you. And I did this while they were setting me up. I did this while they were betraying me. I didn't have a mind to defend myself because I knew this is what I had to do. And we have to understand that this is the very God of heaven manifested in flesh. This is Jesus, right? So Paul speaks further in Philippians chapter number 2 when he talks about Jesus. He says, beginning at verse number 6, who, talking about Jesus, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, Amplified unpacks it, possessing the fullness of the attributes which made God, God. Basically, he's saying this Jesus who I'm preaching about is in fact God. He said, did not think this equality with God a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, although he is and was God for the purpose of the salvation of mankind. He didn't want to hold on to that part of who he is, right? Verse 7 says, but stripped himself, this is what God did, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity. What a God to do something like that. The very God who made everything, the very God who spoke the universe into existence, stripped himself of all the privileges and rightful dignity, watch now, so as to assume the guise of a servant as a slave. God became a slave. I can't wrap my brain around that. The awesome God, huh? The one who said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, huh? This God, this very God, he assumed the guise of a servant and a slave in that he became, the verse continues, like men and was born a human being. God did that. Huh? He humbled himself. Oh, Lord. The God of God. He humbled himself and became like men. He allowed himself to be born as a human being. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. He was born as a human being, but I'm so glad he wasn't born by a human being. because of the fall of mankind in the garden, that Adamic nature was on every human being. So God had to do this himself. He didn't need the aid of a man, but he was born of a virgin. This God, the one who was born, is none other than Jesus. None other than Jesus. This is what Paul is trying to get the Corinthian saints to remember, all that it took and everything that God invested to allow us to become whole. All that it took and everything that God invested to allow us the opportunity to have fellowship with him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9 says this, "For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hopefully that's what we're doing. His kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. What a blessing it is for us to have an opportunity to have fellowship with God. It's undeserved. We could do nothing to deserve having peace with God. Nothing. His undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. Watch now. In that though he, talking about Jesus, though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes, he became so very poor. The rich God, the God who owns everything, he became so very poor in order, watch now, in order that by his poverty, you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. Oh Lord, I know y'all, some of us have saw the movie Trading Places. This was the ultimate trade right here. You talking about trading places, This was the ultimate trade right here. He who was so rich, yet for our sakes, I put our sakes because we are recipients of that. He became so very poor. How poor did he become? This God, this very God, humbled himself and said, I'm gonna come as a human being. Lord, have mercy. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Then Paul goes a little further. Well, he picks this up in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 8. He says, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. So it wasn't just the fact that he humbled himself and became human, that was the humility of humilities as far as God is concerned, huh? After he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. So when you take this bread, when you take this wine, we should remember everything that Jesus took on. Nobody made him do it. Nobody forced him to do it of his own will, because again, he's not willing that any should perish. God does not want anybody to die lost. Nobody. So he made it possible for everybody to be saved. But he's not going to twist anybody's arm. He's not going to put anybody in a full Nelson or a headlock. He said, whosoever will, let him come. So that means you have to be willing again to surrender. You got to be willing to surrender. When we consider all that Jesus Christ has done, when we consider all that he laid on the line, when we consider all that he has sacrificed for us, and then when we still consider what he's doing for us right now, huh? The Bible says that he ever liveth, talking about Jesus, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So it would have been enough in our estimation, in the human estimation, it would have been enough for him to come and to live a sinless life for 33 and a half years and do what God wanted him to do and show everybody how to please God. That would have been enough. Then it would have still been enough when he went to the cross for all of our sins, when he allowed himself to be beaten, bruised, whipped, and humiliated, to be disfigured, because Isaiah talks about when we see him, there's nothing in him that we would desire him. So he allowed himself to go through all that torture, and he tasted death. I'm talking about Jesus. He tasted death for all mankind, and that would have been enough. And then remember what he told Pilate, no man take my life. I got the power to lay it down, and I got the power to pick it back up again. I received this commandment from my Father. That would have been enough. It would have been enough if when they laid his body in that tomb on the third day, he got up. That would have been enough, right? Because remember, after he resurrected and the disciples was in that room, they was in that closed room, and Jesus appeared in the room. Didn't knock on the door. Jesus appeared in the room, and they said, and they thought it was a ghost. And he said, no, come on, touch me. Come on, touch me. Because a ghost don't have a, look at. You remember these scars that y'all remember when they put me on the cross? Yeah. Look, it's me. That would have been enough just to touch the resurrected Jesus. That would have been enough for a lot of us, right? And then after the resurrection, Jesus said, y'all got something to eat? That would have been enough, huh, to see the resurrected Jesus eat something. Oh, that lets me know, oh, we're going to eat something too. I don't know what we're going to eat, but it's going to be something, right? That would have been enough. And that would have been enough when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That would have been the clincher. That would have been the icing on the cake. Because when they were there at the day of Pentecost, they were in one place, on one accord, in that one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. That would have been enough, but he did not stop there. after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, wait a minute. First chapter, book of Acts. When he told them to wait, then he went up on a cloud. That would have been enough. The angel said, yeah, y'all looking up here, paraphrasing, y'all looking up here, but Jesus gonna come back the same way. The same Jesus who you see go up, he's coming back in like manner. That would have been enough. I said that was a cream on top, but the cherry on top of the cream, if you will, is that Jesus right now is making intercession for the saints. Jesus right now, our advocate, is praying for us. And if anybody could get a prayer through, Jesus can get a prayer through. So I thank God. So I'm remembering now everything that Jesus did, and I'm thankful for what he has done, and I'm thankful for what he's still doing, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a Jesus prayer. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need an advocate. I need an intercessor. Sometimes I make a mess of stuff. Anybody? Oh, okay. Y'all might be all right, but sometimes I make a mess of stuff at my best effort, and I'm so glad that God looks on the heart. You might look at me funny. We might look at one another funny, but God, he looks at our heart, and he says, yes, I know they're frail. I know sometimes they waver in their mind, but can you see Jesus intercessing for us? Give him another chance. Give her another chance. Send him some help. Send her some help. I thank God that he is interceding for us right now. Where would we be without the great intercessor himself, Jesus Christ? He said, I want you to remember me with some affection. I want you to remember me with some appreciation. When you think about what I've done for you, you think about what I'm doing for you. Listen, you didn't wake up yourself this morning. It was God's grace that got you up out of that bed. You didn't wake up, Lord, have mercy, on your own strength. His faithfulness and his mercies are renewed day by day. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. So when you take of this body, you got to remember, by faith we are ingesting God. Ooh, by faith. He said, I want you to call me affectionately. You know how to treat somebody you affectionate to. Come on. It's enough married folks in here could tell you that. And some non-married could tell you that too. Oh Lord, but I'm gonna leave that for another day. Amen. But we understand affection. Huh? We go out of our way to show affection. So Jesus said, do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. Well, it shouldn't be, well, we gotta take communion today. No. Is it first Sunday? It should be, I was glad. Ooh, when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. We get an opportunity to be infused with power. Oh, Lord, help me find my notes now. This thing trying to act up. It's trying to act up, but I'm back. Here it is. Boom, I'm back. Thank God. Amen. Let me see. Okay, next verse. So we talked about the body. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. No, okay, here we go. Talked about the body. Sometimes I get excited, but that's all right. This is something to get excited about. An intercessor? Huh? Somebody who knows our heart? Somebody that knows, sometimes we get frustrated. I want to see you. There you are. Sometimes we get frustrated. Huh? Sometimes we get fed up with everybody. Sometimes we don't want to talk to nobody, don't want to see nobody. In fact, turn that TV down in there. It's too loud. But then we have to remember we got peace. We got peace that passeth all understanding. I know stuff's going on. I know you should be pulling your hair out, but there you are standing or sitting with peace. Why? I got he who is peace on the inside. So when the storm comes, the same one who was awakened from his nap on that boat, y'all remember that? The same one who was trying to catch some Z's, right? And they woke him up. And he walked out there and spoke to the elements. He said, "Peace, be still." One version says he told the wind to hush and settle down. Now, Jesus might have been a little country, because you know down south, they said, hush up all that noise. But Jesus, come on, y'all work with me. Jesus said, hush and be still. Oh, Lord. And the wind obeyed him. The wind understands who created him. I could, y'all pray for my mind. I could imagine Jesus telling the wind, hush, and the waves, y'all go lay down now. Huh? It was still. That's the very same God that when a storm is in your life and you can't reach your brother or your sister, I got news for you. He was sleeping then, but he ain't sleeping now. Huh? And he'll tell your storm, all right, that's enough. Hush. Be still. God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Remember that when you take communion. This is what I have in him. See, that's how you call him affectionately to remembrance. God, you're doing all this for me? For little old me? He said, do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. Verse 25, similarly, I'm almost done. We're about ready for communion, ain't we? I'm sorry, aren't we? Yes. All right. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is the new covenant ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to call me, here it is again, affectionately to remembrance. So we got to put some affection on the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9, verse 22 in the Amplified Classic says, in fact, under the law, almost everything is purified by means of blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is neither release from sin and its guilt, nor the remission of the due and merited punishment for sins. One version says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Right? Leviticus 17 and 11 says, for the life, the animal soul is in the blood, and I have given it for you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life which it represents. So when we take this blood, we understand that it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life blood that we take by faith. We are receiving Jesus, more and more of Jesus, because it is the blood that makes the atonement. Sometimes they have broken up that word for atonement to mean at one. So it's the blood that draws us closer to Jesus. Hebrews 9, verse number 14, it says, how much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, his own pre-existent divine personality, pointing back to the pre-existence of Jesus because he is God, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, how much more will that blood purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God? So we have to understand that this blood is powerful. Christ the Messiah, watch now, Christ the Messiah is therefore the negotiator and mediator of an entirely new agreement, a new testament, a new covenant, because the Bible says in one place that when Jesus was on the cross, he nailed the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed them to his cross. He got rid of the penalty of the old covenant for all those who would accept the new covenant. Now, if you don't accept it, then you still got some things to deal with, and you can't handle them on your own. You need an advocate. You need the Lamb of God, who is Jesus. Bible says, so that those who are called and offered it may receive the fulfillment of the promised everlasting inheritance. Since a death has taken place which rescues and delivers and redeems them from the transgressions committed under the old first agreement. So because of the death of Jesus Christ, we have been rescued. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, we have been delivered. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed from all the sins that were committed under the first agreement. And that's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 and 4 says, because the blood of bulls and goats is powerless to take away sin. Hence, when he, Christ, watch now, when Christ entered into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but instead you have made ready a body for me. Sounds familiar? This is my body. A body for me to offer. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no delight. So what Jesus was saying when he entered into the world, yes, God instituted the Old Testament sacrificial system, and he instituted it in such a way that whatever your economy was, you can offer a sacrifice. If all you can afford was pigeons, then God said, bring your pigeons. If all you can afford was a lamb, God said, bring the lamb. If you could afford a bull, go and get your bull, right? But the thing that they were supposed to do, they were supposed to buy it from the marketplace and then take it to the priest. But somebody got slick and they started selling the sacrifices at the temple, trying, in my mind, to cover sin. See, with, let's say if we were in the children of Israel and we were all in our tents in our tribe, right, and you see me pulling a goat, you know I done messed up. Because I got to take the goat, just say if I was in the tribe of Benjamin, and Benjamin's tent is over here, and the temple is way down there somewhere, I got to take my goat, right, and walk past all the other tents, right, and get to the temple so they know, well, he must have messed up, but thank God he got a sacrifice, But people got slick. They got slick. They said, no, you know, just walk up to the temple like you all right, like some of us do when we come to the altar. Walk to the temple like we all right, huh? Walk to the temple like we all right and say, you know, I don't know what y'all say, but anyway. they were supposed to let everybody know that they sinned, huh? Because the command was for all the people. But they got slick. They said, well, I'm going to just walk up there, you know, and Then when I get here, can I buy a couple turtle doves? Jesus, you know what he did? He turned the tables over. He said, God said my house is going to be a house of prayer, but y'all done turned it into a den of thieves. Y'all got marketing schemes going on in the temple. Oh, that's another lesson. Lord have mercy. I hope y'all invite me back next week. But aren't you glad that Jesus, he's our sacrifice. He's our sacrifice. Paul wrote something in Ephesians. I'm almost getting to the communion. When we have communion, hold on. I'm almost there. Remember. See, again, we're talking about strengthening your calling. And we need to remember. We need to remember when we're faced with challenges. Remember what Jesus invested in us. This ain't no lightweight thing. Huh? Remember, Paul talking to the Ephesians. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ. Y'all remember when y'all wasn't saved? Remember that. This is what he's saying. Remember, you were excluded from all part in him. You were utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation. Remember where you come from, before you get the big head. Lord, help us here. And strangers, you were strange. Remember, you were a stranger with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge of or right in God's agreement. You ain't know what was going on. Remember that. Of God's agreement, his covenant. And you had no hope, no promise. You were in the world without God. Look at that. Imagine you were in the world without God. God allowed you to exist in the world that he created, and you were without him. God allowed you to move around, do whatever you thought you was doing, and you were still without God. Huh? God allowed you to build a family, start a business, or whatever, that you thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. But you were in the world without God. You were in the world without God. You were a part of not the Pepsi generation, but the untoward generation. The generation that is in direct opposition to God. Paul said, I need you to remember that. I need you to remember that was your condition. Here's verse 13, Ephesians 2. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away, through, by, and in the blood of Christ, have been brought near. So when you point back to when you drink this cup, do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. God, Lord Jesus, I'm remembering. Not only am I remembering what you've done for me, I'm remembering what you're still doing for me. I'm remembering that it was your shed blood that brought me into closer proximity to you. I was once far. Anybody else was far? I was far away from God, wasn't thinking about God, didn't want to hear about God, but he still loved us enough, huh, to call us unto salvation. But now, I thank God for the but now in Christ Jesus. See, there's a prerequisite. You don't have this unless you're in Christ Jesus. And you can't join in. Oh, Lord. You got to be born in. Marvel not. Jesus said that I say unto you, you must be born again. But now in Christ, you who once were so far away, through and by and in the blood of Christ, you have been brought near. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So when you eat this bread and drink this wine, remember to call Jesus affectionately. Lord, I love you. Because you loved an unlovable person like me. I started to say something else. You loved, all right, I'm going to go Looney Tunes for a minute. You loved an unlovable varmint like me. Like me. So get your elements ready. And if you're able to stand with us as we affectionately call to remembrance the body, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we affectionately call to remembrance the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, you gave thanks, and this is what we're going to do now. We thank you for this bread that represents your body, your broken body. That was broken for us. We thank you for allowing yourself to be given into the hands of wicked men, and they tortured you, crucified you. But you did that for us. So we ask that you bless this bread to our use as we remember what you've done for us. We pray that this bread that represents your body will draw us first closer to you and then closer to your body, the church, closer to one another. And Lord, we thank you for the wine that represents your blood, the blood that was shed, the blood that cleanses us, the blood that draws us nigh to you. Your word declared the life of the creature is in the blood. So, Lord, as we take your body and your blood that is represented here in these elements, draw us closer to you. And we thank you for grace. We thank you for power. We thank you for life that we will ingest. And let us use this infusion of your body and blood for your glory. Let us use it to tell somebody about you. Let us live in a constant state of readiness for your soon return. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says again, "For I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance.'" Let's discern the Lord's body together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your broken body. Hallelujah. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, to call me affectionately to remembrance." Let us discern the Lord's blood together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again.